Welcome to another episode of the Man Under Construction podcast. I want to thank you so much for taking the time to listen. And if this podcast finds you in quarantine, I hope that you are inspired by it, by the conversation that is coming up, and by the dialogue and the stuff that we talk about. I hope that it nourishes your masculine soul and you're inspired to step up to that plate, to be the leader, to be the man that your family needs at this time. It's uncertain out there. It's crazy out there. So be safe. Take care of your family. Be wise, especially wise in these times. And I hope and pray that your family is safe. And we will get out of this. We will make it out the other side. And we will be okay and return to normal life. But let's step up as men and shine in times like these. But before we go into the episode, I want to thank God for being with me on this journey, for giving me the strength to continue on this journey to manhood, to discover every aspect of my masculinity and every aspect of my manhood to be that better man. Without him, I wouldn't be here. So I thank God for that. I also want to thank my wife, who has been my partner in crime, who stands by me throughout this journey, and she encourages me. She's a great support, and of course she benefits from this journey as well, having a man step up to that role and let her be the feminine role in our relationship. And she definitely loves that, and I love her, and I hope she hears this, because every time I do this I score brownie points, and you know what I'm talking about, fellas. So I love you, Sheila. Thank you so much for being there for me. So today's guest, I ran into him on Instagram, and we've been following each other for quite some time. And he goes by the name of Forrest Mundin. He's a young man serving our country, and he's a drill sergeant. Now he just graduated to drill sergeant, and he's going to share that story. And he has some great insight for his age. He has great insight. He's a good man and a wise man, like I said, for his age. And without any further delay, let's jump right in. And here is Forrest Mundin. I'm honored, and it's a pleasure to have Forrest Mundin on the podcast. He's going to share a little bit about who he is. Thank you for joining us, my man.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you. Just a real quick introduction. I noticed that our audiences are starting to interlap a little bit. Like, I have a lot of your followers now, and you have a lot of mine. So I would not be surprised if some people are starting to be like, oh, cool. Like, they're actually interacting. So for those of you guys who I haven't talked to you yet, or you haven't seen my page or vice versa, my name is Forrest Mundin, but on Instagram, I just go by Mundin_Forrest. I recently started my Instagram page about a year ago. And then I just used it as kind of like a way to post my thoughts. Like I had so many thoughts in my head and I didn't really know how to articulate it. And I really just wanted a place that I can just kind of shove everything. And that was about a year ago, and things kind of took off from there. But moving back a little bit, I'm a soldier. I've been in the Army since I joined when I was 17 in 2011. And that was from 2011 and 2016. I broke service. So for those of you guys who don't know what it means to break service, it means that I got out of the Army for 3 years. So I had a break in service for about 3 years. I went through this like crazy introspective, I guess you can call it, journey, where I'm like, I just need to find myself, bro, you know, kind of thing. Like, we all go through that.
You went through a period of hippiness.
I kind of went through like a period of hippiness, which was like, I guess it helped me in the long run, but I ended up going back into the Army. So the first 4 years that I did in the Army, I hated it. Like, it was not what I expected at all. I felt like I was under really weak leadership. My deployment was just exhausting. And then after 3 years, I kind of gained some perspective as to why I joined the Army in the first place, like what I was hoping to gain out of it. And then I rejoined the Army about 9 months ago, and I decided that the only way I'm going to rejoin the Army is if I can train soldiers, you know, more specifically young men, because I think you and I can both agree that young men need help more now than ever. So I was like, the only way I'm going back in the Army is if I can directly influence like these new soldiers. I called up the reserves recruiter. I had a tiny little freaking caller card. You know how the recruiters give you those, what it's called, those business card type things?
Yeah.
Excuse me. I had one of those sitting in my car for like a year and a half. I called it up, and I didn't even know if the guy was still a recruiter. His name was like Sergeant First Class Courtney or something. I'm like, are you still a recruiter? He said, yeah. And I was like, okay, well, I'm interested in joining the reserves. The only way I'm going to join again is if I can become a drill sergeant. Long story short, I met him, signed my contract within like a day, slept like a baby that night. And then moving forward another 11 months, I ended up shipping out to the academy and just graduating the Drill Sergeant Academy as of a week ago. So that's like a very summarized version of like how I started my page and like why. Yeah. And then also like kind of my soldiering experience. But yeah, to summarize it, I'm a podcaster now. I run the Backbuilders podcast, Drill Sergeant Soldier. And then just, I kind of have a new perspective on like, on just masculinity and life as a whole and my career. So that I feel like can summarize, you know, who I
and
am.
And that's perfectly good. I guess because if you break it down, it starts, we're going to go over our allotted time. Yeah, so,
exactly. I wanted to get into it. I was like, oh man, that's going to take forever if I go down that rabbit hole.
No, man, it's all right. Don't worry about it. And, we all appreciate your honesty and your willingness to be vulnerable. I know a lot of guys aren't willing to do that. And it shows in the content that you share and how you conduct yourself and just in the little kind of conversation we're having now. So I appreciate that. And I thank you for your service. I love our service men and women out there who put their lives on the line to serve our country and bring up the next generation of soldiers and leadership. So thank you for your service and congratulations on your new promotion.
I appreciate it. Thank you. It was like we were talking about before, it was weird how it ended because I graduated 10 days early from the Drill Sergeant Academy because they just sent us all home because of the coronavirus.
Right.
So I was telling them earlier that they sat us down on the bleachers and then the senior drill sergeant waved her hands over us and was like, congratulations, you're all drill sergeants now. And you have 3 hours to pack up the barracks and get out of here. Poor Jackson was like evacuated, but yeah, man, I appreciate it. It's an honor to be in that position. And it's kind of weird because I'm so new to it. Like the drill sergeant position, I haven't had a lot of experience yet, but I'm like really looking forward to see how the next year or two is going to pan out. But yeah, I appreciate it.
I'm sure it's going to turn out well, man. And I'm sure you'll be sharing that journey on your page. And all of us who do follow you, we look forward to seeing your progress and we look forward to seeing you succeed in your career path that you've decided to choose. So we're definitely rooting for you. And we know that you're going to make it and you're going to make a difference and you're going to show the way to these new recruits that show up and think they know all the answers to the world, but you're going to nice slap to the face and let them know that it's not that way.
That nice little awakening we all get.
Yes. there's a term for it. It's something epiphany. It happened to my stepson. There was something epiphany that, you know, he was there and after a grueling boot camp and he's there in the barracks or you know, wherever they put you guys to lay your head and you're there thinking about how unappreciative you were of the things you had before.
Yeah.
There's a certain word for it, but it slips from my mind.
I don't remember, but I know the feeling. It's, I mean, the feeling that I always had is that I look back, I'm like, wow, the Army allowed me, like, I have such a low standard of living now in a good way, since like, I'm kind of humble now because once you spend 3 to 4 or 5 months in a place with like no plumbing, no running water, you're showering with like water bottles for 2 months, you kind of gain a new perspective on everything. So I know what your son's talking about because before I joined the Army, you live like this cush life and you kind of have everything kind of made for you, especially if you join as like a 17-year-old, right? So you go from essentially one parent to the other and you're awakened to the world in a really weird tribalistic primitive way, which is like the Army and like the hierarchy that comes along with it. So I know exactly what your son felt. And that feeling never really goes away, to be honest. I mean, that'll happen to you in any aspect of life, really.
Yeah, that's very true. Well, tell us, you said a little bit about your page and you're using it to share your thoughts. Mm-hmm. And now you open a podcast. And ironically, I opened my page, the Man Under Construction page, roughly, I think, next month will be about a year as well.
Yep.
So I'm relatively new to this, relatively new to podcasting and talking to different men. And there's so much more I want to do with it. And I know that you do as well. What started the podcast? I know what started the Instagram page, but now what propelled you to want to open a podcast or start a podcast?
That's a really good question. So there became like one moment where I realized that I really wanted to start the podcast. And I was listening to, I'm pretty sure you're familiar with this point, with Jordan Peterson. And I was listening to one of his speeches about the power of being articulate, the power of speech and the power of being precise with your words and your verbiage. And he just really hit it home for me that I need to work on just my speaking skills and stuff like that. And like I said earlier, is that I just had so many thoughts boiling up in my head about everything, like various subjects from just basic masculine psychology to, I don't know if you're very familiar or if you're interested in mythology, but I became obsessed with mythology. I became obsessed with Joseph Campbell's work in The Hero's Journey. I became obsessed with like warrior culture, tribalism, initiations, war, combat, general psychology. So I just had so many thoughts that were boiling up in my head. And it got to the point where I realized like I needed an outlet for this kind of stuff, because if I just sat here and I wasn't able to articulate myself externally, that it was just going to become very, very confusing. So my podcast was a way for me to just, I'm not going to lie, my podcast was kind of more for me. And I've specified that in the first three episodes. I said that, you know, I don't really plan on this podcast going anywhere. This is more of just like a form of therapy for me to get my thoughts out there. And then of course, naturally traffic starts to build. I didn't know if it was going to resonate with anybody. I didn't know if people were going to hate it, but masculinity, because that's really what my podcast is about. Like masculinity is a very broad subject.
It has a lot of faculties. Many moving parts working mm-hmm. together.
Yeah. A lot of people, when they think that, you know, you just talk about masculinity, they think you're talking about like being competitive and aggressive. Sure. That's some aspects of masculinity. But what I go into is like the masculine psychology intertwined with mythology. So like the masculine hero's journey, like what does it look like when a man gets to his lowest point, like that abyss, and how can he get out of it? And how long should you stay in it, and all this stuff like that. So you're right. There's so many different dimensions to masculinity and like what it means to be a man. And you can go back and you can look through history and see what other people like. So that was why I needed to start the podcast. It was, I needed a way to kind of clarify what I was thinking. And the internet works in weird ways, man. The internet works in really weird ways. I started the podcast and then it just grew and grew. I started meeting all these people, networking.
Yeah.
And I would say that was like one of the most important things that I've ever done in my life, was start that podcast, because it helped me in so many different ways outside of just talking into a microphone.
Right.
You know, because as a kid growing up, masculinity to me was it's so annoying, because I grew up in Southern California, right? A very, very, I'm not going to get political, but like a very liberal state, where masculinity is kind of like degraded. It's kind of like turned into dust, and then it's rebuilt into this abstract idea. And masculinity, you should be empathetic and you should be loving and warming. And I noticed that like my masculine traits, like, you know, being competitive, like maybe being more aggressive, maybe being, you know, these things were kind of neutralized as I was growing up. So I always thought that was the truth about my masculinity. And then I started really looking into it like 2 or 3 years ago, really looking into it. And I realized I kind of had to restructure the way I thought about masculinity myself and kind of defeminize myself. Because, you know, whether we like to admit it or not, and I'm not going to go on a tangent here, but a lot of us were raised by mostly females, you know, our fathers are away working long days, long hours, mm-hmm. you know, there's not very many male teachers in the education system. So
yeah, 100%.
The podcast was kind of a way for me to help, you know, revitalize who I am and like what I am.
Yeah. And that's actually a very, very important thing that, that we're both doing and on different fronts. I know you tackle it on a different perspective, on a different front. You were talking about Greek mythology. I do read up a little bit about it. I'm not as as passionate as you are about it, but I did read Robert Bly's book, which has to do a lot of with Greek mythology.
Oh, you're talking about, which book are you talking about? Sorry to interrupt.
Iron John.
Iron John. Dude, yeah. That is the best book. One of the best books that I've ever read. I'm really glad you said
that. It is. It's has a lot of parallels. The way he breaks it down, there's a lot of parallels that we can take home, even though it's allegorical, a lot of it's metaphorical, mm-hmm. but you can parallel it to the journey of a man and Yeah. So I did take a lot away from that, and the stages that he has to go through to detach himself from his mother and heal yep. those wounds. And I think there's a part that he talks about, the ashes part, which is where you, you know, you're down in the
ashes.
You're down in the dump, rebuilding yourself, healing from any past wounds and stuff like that. So yeah, man, I am fascinated by it, but I don't delve really too much into the Greek mythology. I come from it from a different perspective as a father, as a mother, or not a mother, I'm sorry, as a father, yeah. husband.
Like, well, that's new.
No. from a father, husband, a brother, a friend. And I also tackle it from a perspective of brokenness that I've experienced in my own life. And you can see that in the content that I share. It's a lot of below the surface stuff. It's not, like you said, aggression or just specific aspects of masculinity that seem to bombard Instagram and social media as far as like,
yes.
be the man, stand up straight, just empty little things that are the superficial masculinity, I should say. These are just the outer shells, and none of them really delve deep into the internal man, which is the wounds, the internal man. And like I always say, you can't build a strong man without a strong foundation. And the foundation is deep inside who you are, your soul, your heart. And if you got those wounds bleeding all over the place, you're going to bleed on everyone else. Yeah. And so that's the area that I delve into. I delve into the wounds.
That's where the money's made now, though. Like that's the meat and potatoes that a lot of us should be diving into. Like exactly. the wound, when you brought up the wound, I was like, nobody ever talks about the wound, like the psychological wound that a lot of Western men have been given is the wound, the psychological wound, meaning that like a lot of men, we don't have our tribes anymore. We don't really have our hierarchies. We're not really appreciated for our masculinity anymore. And I just feel like a lot of men are just walking around with this bleeding wound. And it's only when we, first of all, identify the wound, when we learn how to heal it properly, right? So not using alcohol to heal the wound, not using drugs, not using sex with random strangers, you know, not filling the wound with video games and pornography and stuff like that. When we learn to heal the wound in ways that are going to not only like help ourselves, but our family around us, like that's what we should be talking about. And then a really important quote in Robert Bly's book, Iron John, he says, I'm summarizing because I'm horrible with quotes, but he says, where your greatest wound is, that is where your greatest power will lie. Meaning that like where your wound is, that's actually where your power is going to come from. That's where your strength is going to come from. So that means when you're at the lowest, weakest point of your life, you can somehow use that wound and turn it into like a source of energy. Robert Bly's work is so abstract. It's based on how you interpret all of it. That's the beauty of it. So you have the type of person who's like, wow, Robert Bly is the worst poet I've ever read in my, and then you have the other guys who read it and they're blown away by his work. And that sounds like that was kind of both of us reading that.
Yeah. Well, because a lot of guys actually, I don't want to say a certain percentage, but certain guys come into it. Like we approached it, we were broken. We were wounded, and it applied to us so much. We saw ourselves in the boy with the golden hair. You know what I'm saying? And just all the little stories and the way he broke it down really resonated with us. The key to the wild man was stored under the mother's pillow. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And we need to steal it. We need to snatch ourselves from it, break ourselves from our mother, and embrace our how he likes to say it, the wild man. In the forest, you know what I'm saying? So
yes,
definitely, man. And I appreciate, you know what, now listening to you, being able to sit down and listen to you, I definitely respect you on a new level, and I respect your work on a different level. Obviously, when you talk to people, you get a bigger sense of who they are. So I'm definitely feeling that. I'm feeling a connection of our joined purpose, if you will, of where we're trying to go. So what other, I guess I can ask, what other aspects of masculinity have you discovered? Just, you said a lot of times we were feminized, and during your journey, you've had to rediscover your masculinity. What are some of those things you have to rediscover? And I'm asking that way, if someone in the audience is questioning the same thing.
Yeah. That's a really good question. I think I was actually just thinking about this the other day, is that I kind of had to, all right. So as men, we have natural tendencies to act certain ways, be certain ways, right? We're more hyper. We're always playing with stuff. We're always tossing stuff around. We're always fidgeting. We're always taking stuff apart. We're always fighting. And as when I was growing up, and I'm talking mostly in the school system, because I was actually raised in like a really nice household, but mostly in the school system, I feel like my power as a man was pulled away from me, was drained a little bit. I felt like I felt like being a man or being like who I was a bad thing. And like all of my teachers and all of our teachers, like they kind of, it's so hard to put this. The only way I can describe it is like, I feel like a power was taken away from me from ages like fifth grade up to high school. Mm-hmm. So I kind of had to rediscover some traits within myself, like embracing strength, right? People get so uncomfortable when you talk about embracing like physical strength, emotional strength. When you talk about embracing stoicism, what is the first thing that people say, mostly women, when you talk about embracing stoicism, right? They say, oh, you're unemotional, you're unattached. You're like, oh no, that's not necessarily it. What I'm actually talking about is like choosing to give my energy, my emotions to certain things that are worth my time. So it's like men are naturally stoic. We don't have to react to anything, everything by crying all over the place, sobbing like a little girl. But that was actually one of the things that I was like taught as a kid, was that I should interpret it everything on a hyper feminine level. And I should always be feeling everything. And, you know, if I need to cry, I need to cry. And it was very confusing for me because that's not how my brain is wired. That's not how most of our brains are wired. Now, I know a lot of people who are listening to this right now, they're saying, well, as a man, you can cry. You know, there's nothing wrong with a man crying. There's nothing wrong with a man crying. I'm just going to put it out there right now. Men cry over losing their parents, families, jobs, and all kinds of stuff. But what we're taught now is that you should be crying over everything, right? Like the first thing that you should do is just, you know, talk and speak and you know, sob or let it all out. Mm-hmm. So I kind of had to, and I'm kind of repeating myself at this point, I know, but I kind of had to rediscover who I am as a man. And that not only is like who I am as a man and what it means to be a man, but like how did my father, how did my grandfather, how did his father interact with the world on a masculine level? Like going back into warrior culture, initiations, tribalism, hierarchies, you know, the patriarchy, and all that stuff like that. So I had to rediscover on like almost a molecular level. No, that's very dramatic.
That's all right. That's all right, man.
On a very deep level, I had to like rediscover why I'm here, like what my purpose is. I can tell you right now that living in California, the family unit, the nuclear family, right? The mother, father, you know, children, they don't think that that's important anymore. They don't think fatherhood is important. They don't think that it's important to be that power source for your family. I was brainwashed into thinking that having a family is stupid and that it's dumb and that it's a waste of time, right? What? That is such a lazy, apathetic way of viewing the world. And now I realize, holy crap, being a father, being that figure to a son or to a daughter is like one of the most important things that you can possibly do. So I felt like I had to relearn almost everything. And wow. It's been people are probably saying that you know, it's not that bad or you're just being dramatic. And sure, you know, maybe, but that's how it felt to me. And in California, it's a lot different than like Idaho or Utah or something like that.
Or
like
Texas.
People really don't understand. Or Texas. Yeah. So the Army helped me rediscover my masculinity, really. I mean, maybe more than some, but even in the Army, a lot of the time it's just boys leading boys, you know, because we come straight out of high school. We never really get that time to develop our inner self. So,
and I can definitely, I can vouch for what you're saying. I can back up what you're saying because I know firsthand what it is not to have that father figure. Mm-hmm. You know, I know firsthand what it is like to just grow up with my mother.
Yep.
And I always say, you know, I'm not saying anything about moms out there. They do the best they can with the hand that they're dealt. So kudos to that, and like honor and respect to those moms who step up to the plate when men aren't willing to step up to the plate.
Mm-hmm. Big problem too.
Yeah. But like you were saying, it is extremely crucial for the man to be there. Society or a liberalistic view of society, and where you essentially erase the man or government becomes dad in the family, is not going to work. That's not going to work. we are seeing the repercussions of that. We are seeing the consequences of that. We got a lot of men who are dependent on mom, and when they switch, they finally get out of the home, they switch from one mom and find another mom, and just change the title to wife.
Yep, or wife. Yep, exactly.
They just change the title to wife, and essentially, the men take the back seat, women take the roles, and you got a bunch of feminized men walking around there, not living up to their full potential, spineless. And I can say this because I was that man.
Me too.
Up to about 3 years ago, I was that man until I started digging deep. And I'm still, and hence the title to my podcast, Man Under Construction. I'm still working on it. Mm-hmm. I'm still trying to be that I'm digging deep for the best version of myself. I'm digging deep to be the man that I know I can be and I need to be for my family, my daughter, my stepson, for my friends, the people around me, the guys that I touch on through Instagram, and the call upon our life as men is needed so much, because we can see what's going on out there. Mm-hmm. And it's chaos, and there's pushback. The thing is, a lot of these guys are pushing back in the wrong way. You know what I'm saying?
Wrong way. Yes, yeah. I know exactly.
What you're talking about. They're channeling all that frustration, all that repressed masculinity. They're channeling it in harmful ways, abusive ways, sexually abusing ways, physically, or just cowering, cowering into their own little room or dark place and play video games all day, or dive deep into pornography or different vices, simply because they don't know how to come back from something that's been repressed for so long.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. They don't. It sucks that we even as men have to go on this journey to rediscover our masculinity, but that's what it's going to take now. That's how it's going to have to happen, because at one point in time, and I really like how you put this, how it's like a journey. At one point in time, when we were in a tribe, right? There's maybe 60, 80, 200 of us or whatever, like no man ever needed to be like, what does it mean to be a man? We knew what it meant to be a man, because at age 16, 17, or maybe younger than that, we went through an initiation ceremony where we put on a mask, or we drank ayahuasca, or we went out to the woods, or we were given a sword for the first time, and we were made men. Psychologically, we went through that initiation.
Yeah.
We don't have those initiations anymore. I mean, we have pseudo initiations. Like, I think Robert Bly wrote about this, or maybe I'm thinking about somebody else, like gangs, they have those pseudo initiations where you got to go kill somebody. And if you do, you're a man. So it sucks that we even have to be sitting here talking about how we have to go through this journey again and rediscover ourselves as men. But this is how we're going to get better. And this is how we're going to heal as men. This is how we're going to strengthen ourselves for not only ourselves now, but our sons and their sons. Men are so weak now. And I'm not saying that from a perspective of like pointing my finger at them, because I'm not perfect either. I still have weaknesses and stuff like that. But I look at them and I almost feel sorry for them, because it's not completely their fault. Sure, it's a choice that they're 40 something years old and they're still living in their mother's basement and playing video games. But a choice has to be made for all the young men listening, and middle-aged or later age men, where you kind of just have to make that choice and you have to realize like nothing is going to get done. Nobody's going to come save you. Nobody is going to come save you. You are your own savior. And that's how it maybe has always been. I don't know, but that's how it feels now.
Yeah, definitely, man. I feel your frustration, and I feel the passion behind the word you're saying, because I'm in the same boat as you are. And like I said, I definitely see the need for, even though it's sad that we have to talk about it, and we're here discussing back and forth about something that should have been within our nature to discover, you know what I'm saying? And we're having to rediscover these things. But also, it's sad, but it's also an opportunity for us to lead, to explore an aspect of our masculinity that is missing, to lead these young men into a different level. And you were talking about tribes, and it brought something to my mind. I was reading a book about building your own tribe. He was talking about how important tribes are. There's some, and I don't recall exactly, so I'm going to paraphrase. There's some indigenous tribes that, there's still tribes, of course, around the world that still perform this initiation. But in this particular tribe, and I can't recall the name, but I read the story that at a certain age, all the men in the tribe, the leaders, the chief, you know, the head guys, all the men would get into in front of the little boy's home where he was staying with his mom, and they would start chanting his name. They would start calling him, and they would make this big ruckus. And of course, the mom didn't want to let go of that son. Like all mothers don't want to let go, you know, it's that mother bond that's completely natural, but needs to be broken. They would call him out, and they would be there all night until the mother finally, she was tired of them and finally called the boy out. And sometimes that's what it's going to need to take. You know what I'm saying? The men, the fathers need to forcefully break that bond, because if we don't step up to the plate, they remain attached to the mother, creating that unhealthy mother bond, creating the need to affirm your masculinity through women, the need to sleep around to find out if you're a man, the need to constantly be affirmed, just like mom would always affirm you. You're doing a good job. You're a good little boy.
Yeah.
So the need for that that initiation is so crucial. Mm-hmm. And it might not be as dramatic as those tribes. It can be just a gathering of men, bringing, you know, refining a young man, just calling him out, breaking that bond that he needs to break in order to step into what is already naturally his, a natural step into manhood. So I rambled off a little bit on there. So no,
actually, that's a good point, because the umbilical cord it's severed twice. There's the physical one, used for feeding the baby. And then there's like the emotional one. And it's the job of the men within the culture or the tribe to sever that second cord. I can think of 10 men right now who still are attached to their mother's hip and always getting that coddling and that the affirmations from their mother and all the stuff like that. There becomes a point where you have to leave the mother's world and you have to go to the father's world. The father's world is a scary place. It's like, it's violent. There's bad people out there. There's wars, there's famine, and that's the world as a man, that's the world that we should be interacting with. Or there's the mother's world where it's soft and, you know, you're getting all your food brought to you and you're feeling good. You can't stay in that world forever. You have to move into the father's world yourself now. But I like how you mentioned too about how men need to come together and like refine young men. It doesn't have to be as dramatic as, you know, a tribe sitting outside of the mother's home and bringing out the kid, or like jumping off of a 50-foot tower, or, you know, it doesn't have to be like that. Something as simple as like getting into jiu-jitsu, or maybe joining some type of tribe, maybe like, I don't know, I can even argue the police academy or fire academy or anything, an apprenticeship.
Yeah.
Like where
anywhere there's a group of men.
Anywhere there's a group of men that
in a positive way, of course, not gangs.
The people who are willing to bring men up and build them into like what they're supposed to be. We lack a lot of things like that nowadays. And I do get like emotionally charged when I talk about it, because like, how could you not? You sit on a park bench or a mall bench for 5 minutes and you look at all these 14, 15, 16, 17-year-olds walking by you, and God, man, they're slouching. They're looking down at the ground. They look like they've been just sapped of like this primal energy that they should have. Like, how could anybody not get emotional and a little bit upset about it? But going back to like having these conversations, this is what's going to help people. This is what's going to help me. This is what's going to help you. This is what's going to help your younger listeners, your older listeners and stuff like that. And it's going to take time, and it's going to take patience, and it's going to take coming together. And I don't mean coming together in the sense of like, we're all going to sit together and we're going to hold hands. Like, it's going to take a lot more than that. But I think you and your podcast and your content it's on the right track. And it's actually helped me a lot. There's like 4 people that I'll go on Instagram and I'll look for their stories or their posts, and yours is always one of them. So if more people would kind of realize that we should be having this discussion more, maybe things would be a little bit easier, but who knows?
I know before the podcast started, you were a little strapped for time. How are we doing, my man?
Let's go ahead and find out. Exit full screen. All right, we got about 7 to 10 minutes left. We're on
7 to 10 minutes. Okay. We'll try to squeeze it all in. So yes, I'm 100% and with what you're talking about. And the approach that I'm taking is like you said, masculinity is a big beast.
It is.
It's a big beast. And it's our responsibility to hone and train each and every aspect.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So we got to train the aggression, but not overly aggressive. Mm-hmm. We got to learn to use it.
Balance.
Balance it out. We're the provider. That doesn't mean that we're workaholics and we ignore everything else and just to provide. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We're lovers, you know, for our, not just necessarily in a sexual way with our spouse,
mm-hmm.
but we're also the lover of our children. We love them and we guide them. We direct them, provide discipline, which requires a little bit of aggression, but, you know, held back. There's so many hats that we need to wear that we need to practice on. I don't got them all mastered. I'm learning, mm-hmm. but that's one thing that I want to try to highlight, man, that there's a lot of different aspects of masculinity that we need to talk about and, yes. and hone in on.
I do like how you just mentioned that, because there is an emotional side to it, especially like when it comes to the lover archetype, because as we kind of stray off of this path of, and I know that if somebody's looking at my Instagram, they get this idea that I'm just like, you know, do jiu-jitsu and go choke out your friends and, you know, prepare for like, yes, that I feel like that's important, but there also is like a very important emotional side to masculinity. The lover. I don't know if you're familiar with the book King, Warrior, Magician, Lover, but that book greatly influenced.
I have it on the list to read.
Oh, it's a great
book. I'm serious,
book.
Man. I'm reading like three different books at one time. Oh, I'm trying to get through them, man. Yeah. I'm trying to get through them. But that one is on the list. And also another book that book. Because you were talking about how the feminization of men through society and the school system. There's a book called
Boy Crisis.
There's Boy Crisis. I have that one on the list too.
That's a good book.
And The War Against Boys that I want to read.
Oh, I haven't read that one yet.
I'm yet to get to it. I'll let you know when I get through.
Okay.
But I digress right before I interrupted you.
Oh,
the lover archetype.
There's archetypes to masculinity. King, warrior, magician, lover. I mean, every psychologist has their own. Jung has their own, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But when you're talking about like the lover, there's a proper archetype that a man can dive into when it comes to his lover archetype about properly loving his woman, both sexually and emotionally, about loving your family and your kids, and not thinking that masculinity means not feeling any emotions, because I feel a lot of emotions. I feel a lot of love towards a lot of people, a lot of things, towards nature, towards animals. So I never repress my lover archetype, because like, I feel like that's a really important aspect of life. And we've all been around those men who think that they are men because they don't feel love or emotions, or they don't want to admit to it. Mm-hmm. I'm not afraid to admit.
But the thing is that imbalance in the lover leads to over aggression.
Yeah.
Or over non-emotion, being emotionally vacant for their family and their friends. And that doesn't mean sobbing. That doesn't mean being weak in the knee and no spine. But it just simply means being to be understanding and bringing your masculine perspective into the situation in balance, in the right way.
In balance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So without that lover archetype, without the ability to express or be able to harness love, it creates that imbalance where we have overly aggressive men, or it just simply imbalanced men. And maybe not aggression, but they lash out in different ways. They lash out in frustration, anger, ignore people, ignore their family, sit in front of the couch and not. I was listening to, I'm going through a book right now, and there was a stat that said every day, like a large percent, I don't remember the percentage, but there's a large percentage of men, when broken down, they get home, they unpack, they watch TV, essentially only spend less than a minute with their children. Interact, besides what? Just,
really?
Yeah, besides doing the regular duties, go brush your teeth, go do this, go do that, but actually sit down and talk to your children. Like an actual conversation, you know, how you doing, you know, or like I try to call my daughter up. That's a long story. I won't get into, but I call her up and see how, remind her, you know, that I love her, even though I'm not there for her physically, Mm-hmm. But I'm there for her emotionally, tell her that I love her. I don't feel uncomfortable getting to that level of the lover. And that's so needed. That is an important part of masculinity. It's just balance. It's just as essential as the warrior, as the provider, the protector, the lover, like you were talking about, the different archetypes. All of them are essential. And without one creates an imbalance.
It does.
And the imbalance hurts people around us.
It does. I really like how you, that's actually like a really great way to end the podcast, is about balance, because I feel like I'm constantly on this teeter-totter with my archetypes, right?
Yeah.
If I dive too far into the lover and I chase too many women, which, I mean, that's definitely one of my weaknesses is women, is you go too far to one side, then you start letting, you know, your skills kind of go downwards. If you dive too far into the warrior, right, you start getting into this negative, shadowy, kind of tyrannical side of the warrior, overly aggressive. You're always constantly stimulated, always wanting to fight. And then if you let that warrior go, you become soft and you become weak. And then if you get too much into the king, you become that, like, it's just, you're never going to be perfect. You're always going to be going like this.
Yeah.
Now, the key is you kind of just want to be like this, going back and forth. You don't want to be going up and up and down. And it's never ending.
You don't want big pendulum swings. You want just little turbulences between the archetypes. Yeah. You're going to mess up. You're going to get frustrated and say things out of frustration. Mm-hmm. But as soon as you recognize them, boom, you hit that pendulum back and you go back a little bit. It's like a nice little swing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Not too dramatic. You could feel it. Yeah, exactly.
You could feel it. And what's cool about understanding the masculine psychology, the archetypes and all that stuff like that, is that you can identify when you're needing a certain archetype, when you're needing that warrior archetype, when you're needing that lover archetype. You can tap into it 1 minute and the next minute you can tap into the next, or you can combine the two and you can use it. Our psyche as a man is so adaptable. It's so powerful. It's so potent. It's so flexible. The key is balancing that power and that energy and understanding when to use it, when not to use it.
That's 100%, man. I agree with you on that aspect, 100%. And I know you got to go, so we'll start closing that out here. First of all, thank you for sitting down and sharing. And I had a great time talking to you. I hope we can do it again, man.
That was a good episode.
Yeah, we had, I think this kind of content hits close to home. It's deep. It's what's needed. And I think we should do it again, man.
I think so.
I definitely get a good vibe from you. And we should sit down and talk again. You have any plugs, man, you want to throw in here? You can Instagram, podcast, any other projects, any things you got coming up? I know you got a Patreon.
Yeah, so I have three platforms. I have the Instagram, which is Munden_Forrest, MUNDEN_FORREST, 2 R's. And then I have my podcast, which is most popular on Spotify. Just search Backbuilders, no capitals, no spaces. 32 episodes that you guys can just tap into at any moment. Perfect time to binge on a podcast right now, by the way. And then I have my Patreon, which you guys will find through my Instagram and or podcast, but start with the Instagram because all my content's on there, and then you could flow through the other things after that. But other than that, Michael, I appreciate your time and I appreciate you having me on here, and let's definitely do this again in the future.
Yes, sir. And we'll talk soon, my man.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Once again, thank you so much for tuning in and for sticking around this podcast. I hope that you were able to draw great insight from it. And I want to thank my guest, Forrest, for jumping in. And I'm very grateful that he took the time to join the podcast. So we got more stuff coming up. We got more podcasts coming up. Like I've mentioned before, I've got a little bit more time now due to the circumstances around us. So I'll be pumping out more podcasts. I'll be trying to get more, book more guests, and try to bring you better stuff as I continue to try to read and try to learn more and try to give you the best content out there that will help you the most. So thank you so much, and we'll be back and we'll see you next time.